I honestly probably would have kicked off then and there. Mm. I would have been like, are you fucking serious?
I was like, the audacity. Number one, you're ballsy. And number two, look at you and look at me. I'm a 10 out of 10 weapon and you're a 5 out of 10 bombshell that's coming late for a reason because you've got no main character energy. Fuck yeah.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Out of all the chicks I've stuck my dick in here, you are the second best. And also football. What? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. And also I love you.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
The heart wants.
Yes, it does. Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
And best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us on this episode of The Commercial Break, recorded live inside Brian's All Pets Emergency Hospital and Venezuelan Youth Hostel.
That's right. I came over to a whole new
business. A whole new world.
Whole new business that you had started.
We've got the dog is down. The cars are broken. I don't even know what's going on over my house half the time. Part of the beauty of being, the Venezuelans, they're like such a lovely culture. And
yes,
for
they
30,
are.
Almost 30 years, I have been embedded directly in the Venezuelan culture as my best friend for that many years has, unfortunately, was Venezuelan. So what did I just walked into it. I didn't have any choice in it. But I know a couple things about the Venezuelans. If you say the party's at 8, it really starts at 11.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, don't expect anybody to be on time or even close to on time because that's not going to happen. If someone is within four, if a cousin of your cousin's cousin, a cousin fifth removed, is also a cousin, and if they're within 400 miles of your house, they're staying at your house. Mm-hmm. That's the way that it is. There's no choice in the matter whatsoever.
Yeah, roll with it.
You just have to roll with it. So as an Irish guy who grew up...
Not even staying at your crib.
I never even stayed at my... I mean, I did stay at my grandmother's house a couple times. But like on Christmas Eve, we were literally 38 miles away from my grandmother's house. And on Christmas Eve at 1:45 in the morning when it was blowing snow, my dad drove us home because Irish people don't stay with other Irish people. That's not what happened. Get the fuck out of my house. What are you talking about? There's a lovely hotel down the street.
Right.
That's what happens. Hence the name Irish Goodbye. It's true.
Yeah.
It's a game.
I did wonder how that started. So now you've...
It's how quickly can you get out of the house without
saying goodbye.
Anybody noticing. Yeah. Yes. Because you... So like we were at a birthday party. And I know I promised I wouldn't talk about this, but I will anyway. I'll skirt the edges. I'll keep her in a state of constantly pissed at me. That's how you keep a relationship going. If you want to know how to walk that razor's edge between divorce and a really happy marriage, have a podcast where you never shut your fucking trap.
about your life.
About my life. So we go to this birthday party. There's a lot of people there. It's a kid's birthday party. There's a lot of people there. It's a lovely birthday party. We had a great time. All the parents are wonderful. It's a lot of fun. I actually do mean that. Like we have some great parents of the children that go to school with my children. So anyway, whatever. So we're at this big party and there's however many people, 50 people there. And Blue has just had surgery on her knee, so we can't stay
doggy
for very long. And as we're walking out, I'm like, Astrid, Irish goodbye. Irish goodbye. Just let's just grab the kids and go.
Yeah.
Grab a gift bag, say thank you, and head out the door. Because I'm Irish, and that's what we do. We don't want long, drawn-out goodbyes, because then you have to kiss and hug everybody. You gotta...
Or people will say, no, don't go yet.
Wait.
Yeah. I didn't even
Sparky
know...
Sparky the Clown is coming.
I didn't even know I was doing an Irish goodbye years ago when I first started doing this, because I noticed that. Like, then you get pulled back in.
Yes.
So just kind of sneak out. I remember discussing this with another friend of mine, and he was like, yeah, you know what I do? Is just say, hey, I gotta go to the ATM. And nobody stops you then.
No, because they think you're going to meet the coke dealer. That's why.
Or they want to lend you money.
Yeah, they think the drugs are on the way. Oh, yeah, they want to lend you money.
They don't want to lend you money. You got to go to the ATM? Okay, go ahead.
I owe a bookie $10,000, so I got to go. Unless you have an extra $10,000 laying around.
No, go. Take care of your business.
Yeah. I'm about to be arraigned on drug trafficking. Do you want me to stay here? They'll probably want to come in and get me.
Right. Should I leave? Or should I go?
Buddy!
You leave.
Yeah. You leave. But at least I'm not the former president of the United States. It won't be that big of a deal. You're not going to have CNN out in front of your door. So, Blue, poor Blue, The dog that I love, the dog that I hate. Mm-hmm. And somebody, one of the fans said something about, hey, that dog that you hate. I'm like, I don't really hate the dog. It's a joke. Everything on this show is a joke. Just assume that. I love the dog. Yeah, I brought her home on my little shoulder, and her and I have been best buddies ever since. She literally does not leave my side if she had a choice. She won't. And I love her. She is absolutely obnoxious, but I love her. Listen, I've dated plenty of people that I'll say the same thing about. She wouldn't leave my side. She's absolutely obnoxious, but I loved her. It's just... So about, let's call it a year ago, 2 years ago, we noticed that occasionally she would just like fall down. Like her legs would go lame.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's probably not good when your legs go lame like that. We're just sliding yourself across the floor. But I thought, she's, you know, one of the kids maybe knocked into her or something. But then over the last 6 months, it's gotten worse. And one of her legs, she would just lift in the air. Yeah. So we doped her up with a bunch of pain medication. That seemed to work great because anytime you dope yourself up with a bunch of pain medication, it's a good day. But eventually I'm like, this is not normal. Like we can't have
this
a dog.
Not sustainable.
No, we can't. I can't just keep feeding her Tramadol and Xanax. Like we got to do something else. Take her to the dog orthopedic. Who knew? Who knew?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
We go to the dog orthopedic and the dog in the orthopedic says, without even looking at her twice, says, this is a knee, this is a patella thing. Mm-hmm. The patella is the bone where the kneecap slides in. You're supposed to have a groove there so the kneecap stays in place so it doesn't flop to one side. Well, with the smaller dogs, the groove can get flattened out. Mm-hmm. And Blue has no groove whatsoever on both of her patellas. So what is happening is that she has to get a double, essentially, knee. It's not a knee replacement. They're not replacing the kneecap, but they're cutting
the groove.
Yeah, they're cutting a groove in there, mm-hmm. and then they're putting some pins and some rubber bands and all this shit. It's a pretty
That's
common.
Amazing.
It's fucking unbelievable.
Blue's little knee is very small.
It's tiny. That's what the doctor was telling me. She's like, these pins, these metal pins that I put in, they're like a third of an inch in diameter, and they'll break really
those
easy.
Those tiny little nails you get in the pack, you know, like where you get every size of the nail.
In the one that you never use.
Yeah, the one you're like, where would you use this?
Yeah, the 15-inch long nail that you go, what in the fuck could anybody possibly use this for? And why would you only need two of them? Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, if you need a 15-inch long nail, you need a box of those. Whatever you're dealing with, it's probably not just one. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're nailing a coffin.
I always wondered this. I'm like, a coffin? You're not even doing a good job. It's like, anyway. And then, yes, those tiny little things.
Ones.
Yeah, she showed me one of them. It's tiny. And she said, listen, these things snap like a thumbtack. Like, so you got to keep her calm.
Oh, great.
For 8 weeks. And I'm like... How do you fuck? I mean, if you listen to the commercial break for any length of time, Blue is as big as she's the third co-host of the show. She never calms down. That's not what Blue does. Mm-mm. Blue goes crazy. So I'm thinking to myself, this is going to be an absolute nightmare. How do I keep this dog crazy who barks at anything and everything and jumps up and runs around?
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's an answer to that, and it's really good drugs. Mm-hmm. And so now Blue is sitting literally underneath the table right now.
With a zoned out look on her face. Yes.
She's full of trazodone. I'll never forget. You remember that girl that I dated that I had to like, I went on like 6 dates with her and then I had to get a restraining order because she
Which
sent
one?
Me.
The hard ones with the hard ones.
The hard ones with the hard ones. She came over to my house and probably the second night she spent the night over at my house. The first night was right out of the club. So she just had a purse with her. But the second night she brought accoutrements. She literally brought clothes that then she put in my closet, which should have been the first indication that there was a problem.
Yes.
But then she brought medicines that I had no idea that she was on. Well, she took these medicines, put them in her hand, like made her little packet of medications and put it on the bedside table. My dog, my like, you know, 80-pound Labrador at the time, went and decided to eat all those medications. Ooh. And so I'm like, what the? And she's like, who took my medications? I don't know. I didn't even have medications. I put them right here on the side. Well, all of a sudden, I can see this dog is like doping around a little bit. She ate a bunch of trazodone, is what it was. So this is what they're giving her to keep her calm, is trazodone. Yeah. And it's working pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about giving it to all the Venezuelans who have decided to stay at my house. Keep them all calm, too.
I know people that take it for sleeping.
They take it for sleeping? Mm-hmm. It's a sleep medication?
It can be.
I thought it was like a psychiatric medication. Mm,
I think it's an antidepressant and a sleep medication.
Oh, great. That's all we need is to give Blue a little pep in her step. Not a good idea. And I thought they would like for sure give her some kind of good drugs. I've had dogs before, and they give them the good drugs. They give them like, what is that stuff? Not morphine, but hydromorphine. Like, you know, hydrocodone or something like that. Yeah. I've had a vet who literally gave me Vicodin for a dog's cough. And he gave it to us for like months and months and months. Nico was on this stuff.
Are you sure you were at a doctor?
Going
to D's house?
When someone offers hydrocodone, I don't ask questions twice. Except for trying to explain to the pharmacy that you're actually getting this for a dog is a different story altogether.
Right.
But so I thought, they'll give her some morphine or something to take care of that pain. They just cut a groove into her fucking bone. Mm. And she had an ACL that was torn too, so they yanked it and pulled it with a rubber band and tied it up. I don't even know what they do. It sounds disgusting. But they didn't give her anything. They didn't give her any pain medication, just trazodone and some anti-inflammatory. She does, yeah. That's her fifth trazodone today. See, give her one every 12 hours. I'm like, I'm going to give her a half every hour.
There you go.
Doesn't that equal the same? No, it doesn't? Okay, just checking. So for those of you asking, and there have been a couple people, Blue is doing well. She's recovering right here on the side of us.
Yeah.
And we do love her very much. We will decide. We have decided to keep her.
She gave me little kisses.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fucking expensive surgery. Man, I can imagine.
I know she's my best friend had that for her dog too. And she was like, I can't believe my dog has to get a knee replacement surgery. But what are you going to do? You're going to do it.
You're going to do it? Of course you are. Yes. I'm like, do I fly first class to Spain on our vacation or do I keep the dog alive?
Yeah.
Or at least keep her legs moving because the dog. And I talked to Astrid about it. We talked about this for about 6 seconds. It's clear that we were going to do the surgery.
Yes, of course.
We were going to figure out how we had to get it done because I'm not going to let my dog go lame. Mainly because I don't want her to be in pain. But then the second and close second is that I don't want my children to be scared of their own dog. Why can't Blue walk? Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want to ask those questions.
Like she's crawling out of Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I don't want this to become a Pet Cemetery.
Right.
They're still asking when Nico's coming back from the vet. And I'm like, ah.
He really liked it there. Yeah,
could be a long time. Ask me when you're 15. I'll tell you the real reason. I told him, I said it died, but I can't let my dog go lame and not this one. Blue's really
important.
It's too
close to Nico too, when you had to put Nico down.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't want to have to do multiple explanations as to why. And then if we ever get another pet again, I don't want the kids to think that every time the dog goes to a vet, they never come home.
True, yeah.
Because yesterday, on Friday when I was taking the dog, Mia's like, you know, Daddy, where are you taking?
Bye-bye, Blue.
Yeah, bye-bye, Blue. Oh. And she was like Nico? And I was like, no, not like Nico. Nico sucked. That's why we didn't bring him home. We like her. Just kidding. People are going to start calling PETA on me. I'm going to get PETA at the front door. Could you imagine like a bunch of unarmed PETA officers outside?
Or you've got a protest going on out in front of the front yard.
Sir, just come outside with your hands up. Come outside with your hands up.
I won't be able to bring the dog with me if I have my hands up.
Put her on your lap.
You want me to put her on my lap with my hands up and walk outside?
We've listened to your podcast. Release the dog. Release the hound.
Okay, but she's a big pain in the ass.
We're trained in this, sir. Bring the dog outside.
3 days later.
Yeah.
Sir, we're back with Blue. Come outside with your hands up, ready to carry Blue back in the house. We've decided you've been a good parent. We have not found a foster home for Blue, unfortunately. She's been through 30 foster homes.
In 3 days?
In 1 day, sir. We gave her some trazodone. She was good. But when she woke up, it was a whole other nightmare. You're surrounded. You have to take her back.
Oh, man. So Blue's doing good. She'll survive.
Yeah, she's sweet. Yeah,
she's got all eyes on Blue. Mm-hmm. We're watching her right here. So just know that Blue's in good hands. And thank you. Some people that we communicate with on the text messages, you know, we knew that she was going to have this knee surgery. So thank you very much for asking. Blue is fine. Chrissy, you know the fun is going to be over at some point. You know, one of the things that I like about the British culture, me personally, mm-hmm. is kind of the understated, I don't call it elegance, but the very, like, it's a very...
Refined
mm-hmm. and slick...
Sophisticated
culture. Now, I'm sure that they have, you know, their Florida, too. I don't know where their Florida is, but I'm sure they have their...
Oh, yeah, no, I know some people, British people, that are very crazy and vulgar.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, yeah.
And also awesome. And just also... because they have that voice and that accent.
I know, and they're all rich.
And they dress well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are all the British guys that I know rich? How do they all get rich? It's because of that fucking accent. Tall people and British people. They all end up doing well in life. Yes.
Yeah, you can just like skip through with a few
That's
steps.
Right. I'm short and I used to stutter. And so I got nothing. Well, let's be honest. I mean, the commercial break was never going to be my sail off into the sunset vehicle anyway. But all right. Okay. So
one cheerio. Of
the, yeah, cheerio. 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 It's cheerio. One of the things I really like about the culture is that refinement in some cases and just kind of this understated elegance. And also, you know, their comedy is very dry and very witty. And it's...
I do love their comedy.
Oh, man, I love it. It's all I watch is British comedies. And I don't know why, but I just am in love with that type of television show.
Well, it can be like dry and sarcastic. I love that.
It's dry, it's sarcastic, it's witty, and it can also be very Looney Tune.
Yes.
I mean, and there's a lot of, you know, U.S.-based... comedy that's just as funny. So I'm not saying one is better than the other. I just
and a lot that's based on British comedy, like The Office. Was originally British.
Yeah, but the U.S. version of The Office is so much better than, in my opinion. Yeah. And normally I would say if it's British, it's better, but it's not in that case.
Yeah,
still good, but not as good. So that's what surprises me about this new campaign that Amsterdam has going on to tell young British men, do not come to Amsterdam for your crazy night. So apparently it's very popular because it's very cheap to fly over to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times if you're going to Europe, you fly through Amsterdam. It's like the connection point for whatever reason. In Amsterdam, it's a joke. It's a trope. It's been around for a long time. Amsterdam, long before anybody was thinking about legalizing weed here in the United States, has had legalized drugs for a very long time.
Yes.
And not just weed. Most drugs are legal or at least decriminalized. So you can walk in, my understanding is, I've never been there, but you can walk into a lot of different places and get a lot of different selections of things. And then if you want something harder, it's not hard to find. Have you been to Amsterdam?
I have not, but I would love to go.
I mean, I've flown through there, but I've never actually, you know, I've stepped foot on in Amsterdam in an airport.
Yeah.
What's been happening over the last decade or so is that the British, and especially young men, they go there for a night. They go, they fly in the morning, they get fucking hammered, they have sex with the sex workers, and then they leave. And Amsterdam's sick of it. They think that it's ruining their tourism because the British boys have... It's like our trope of Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Go to Vegas, get fucked up, throw up on your shoes, you know, go to a brothel outside of town or whatever.
Yeah, when meanwhile the country is beautiful and has a lot of good art and history that's there.
It's not all about the pot brownies.
And red light district. Yeah.
Let me read this to you. Amsterdam asks wild young male British tourists to stay away. Amsterdam is asking British men to stay away if they plan on cutting loose and going wild. The Netherlands capital's new online campaign to tackle nuisance tourism launched this week and targets visitors between the ages of 18 and 35. If British tourists search online for a term such as stag party Amsterdam, quote unquote, cheap hotel Amsterdam, quote unquote, or pub crawl Amsterdam, quote unquote, a video advertisement will appear warning them of the consequences of drinking too much and taking drugs or causing trouble and antisocial behavior. One video shows a drunk man being arrested. The accompanying text says coming to Amsterdam for a messy night plus getting trashed equals €140 fine plus a criminal record equals fewer prospects for your future. So if you're coming to Amsterdam for a messy night, stay away.
Okay.
So, and they're serious about this. Because
sounds like it, if they've got a
literally spending millions of dollars to tell people to stay away from, like, your tourism campaign usually encourages you to visit, like, not visit.
That's,
you know what
correct.
I'm saying?
Yes.
And places like Vegas, they lean into it, you know?
Yeah, and what I happens feel in Vegas like stays you in Vegas. Almost know when you're going to a place like that.
Of course.
And you would kind of skirt around maybe the areas that are crazy.
Yeah, I know, but these guys are going over there for one purpose and one purpose only, and
somebody
that's
ruined
to get
it.
Fucked up.
Somebody ruined it for the whole group.
That's right. There's one asshole that this started with. You know and I hate to be this guy, but he's probably known by name and like young circles of British men.
Uh-huh.
Fucking Bob ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
Fucking Bob went to Amsterdam, got a blumpkin in the middle of the street, high on heroin, and then kicked a prostitute in a fake titty. It exploded. Blood was everywhere. Bob's the problem.
Exactly.
And now everybody's a Bob, right? They're all like, oh, here comes Bob. Here comes a Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're ruining it for everybody. But I don't blame them. They're young men. And there's...
Of course. There's, you have an outlet.
Beautiful sex workers. I know guys who you would never suspect would have ever visited a sex worker, right? They're just too prudish for that, or that it's not, it doesn't seem like that they go to Amsterdam and the first thing that they do is get fucking high. But the second thing that they do is go walk down the red light district to have sex with a sex worker. God bless. I think sex workers work and it should be legal here, but that's a different story for a different time. But these guys are going and they're having one hell of a night, but everybody else around them that's not there to get fucked up and have sex with strangers and all this other stuff, they're all getting bothered by this.
Uh-huh.
So they're staying away from Amsterdam, especially some areas of Amsterdam that are beautiful, like Canal Street and all this other stuff. So Amsterdam has to spend all these millions of dollars telling certain people to stay away. I just think it's so funny. They ruined it for everybody.
They really did.
The next thing that's going to come, guaranteed, hands down, know what's going to happen, is they're going to start restricting drug use inside of Amsterdam. It's going to start with the hard stuff, the coke and the heroin, and then it's going to go to the lighter stuff like LSD, the pank stank. Have you heard about the pank stank?
No.
It's this new type of fentanyl that they're putting out there that makes people zombies.
Oh,
and
God.
Some people are calling it the pank stank.
Oh.
I don't know why they call it the pank stank.
Well, there's also something that's eating people's skin away.
Yeah, that's a Russian drug. It's called Carfuli or some shit like that. Yo, it's fucking... To be a drug user in 2023...
Very risky.
Super scary.
Very risky.
Super scary.
Like, and we're not even just talking about death. Like, it used to just be about death, and that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, but, death is bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. But now you've got a skin-eating disease and zombie-like things that happen, and whoa.
These pictures of these guys, like, and especially, I think it was, maybe it was Virginia or Connecticut or somewhere, in a downtown area, and they had all... obviously just gotten high on the same drug from the same supplier. Like, it's like a rundown part of town where the drug addicts and the people that don't have homes, they're living. And there is literally a street full of people that are like bent over back. They're standing, but they're bent over backwards like a gymnast.
Whoa.
And then they're standing up and they look like zombies. That's the only way to explain it. I could try and explain it, but the best way to think about it is think of your favorite zombie movie where everyone's just kind of walking around in a strange way. And that's what they look like when they're on this shit. It is unbelievable, Chrissy.
I'm glad we got it out of our system.
Yeah, no shit. I was just telling my wife this the other day. I'm like, listen, a weed gummy every here and there. All right, I get it.
Yes.
But there's no way that I would touch any kind of powdered material at this point in my life. There's no way. Because I think there's a good chance that I would die.
Yeah.
Or
you become a zombie.
Yeah. Or go right back to calling D every 15 minutes.
I forget how much I like this.
Hey, D. What's going on? It's Brian. Brian who? Brian Green.
What?
Can you come by the house? You swing by the crib?
Man, fuck your mama. What would happen if I called D?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Don't find out.
Everybody has gone too crazy in Amsterdam, and now it's ruining it for everybody else. So on behalf.
We should go now.
Yes.
While it's still crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because Amsterdam might be. Can you, I don't know. Can you actually get like legal cocaine in Amsterdam?
I don't know. I don't think I've heard of that, but it seems very loosey-goosey if you wanted some.
Yeah, I think what the...
I think that you can get mushrooms and weed for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Shops.
Yeah, yeah.
Legal shops.
Legal shops.
And then I think whatever else you want, you just ask those people.
Yeah, everything else is like decriminalized. Yeah. So it's really not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can actually traffic drugs.
Yeah.
But I mean, you think of Amsterdam, like you think of like the X factories and the Molly factories that they have over there. Isn't that like the big place where they make all that shit? Like Amsterdam?
I still feel like it's Mexico.
You think it's Mexico? Well, I mean, Mexico. Listen, say what you will about Mexico, but they are some fucking entrepreneurial motherfuckers down there. They really are.
They're like, what do these people want that we can make money on? Oh, yeah, let's make a ton of it.
Fentanyl? No problem. Yep. You like those Vicodin? I got something 10 times as good for you. You might die. But it's really cheap and we're making a lot of money on it, so we're just going to keep pumping it over there. Mm-hmm. Say what you will about Mexico. They have an entrepreneurial spirit, and I applaud it.
I love the Mexican people and the it's beautiful. The country is beautiful.
Oh, I lived down there for a minute.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as many TV shows as I've now watched that have narcos somewhere in the title.
Yeah.
There's like 100 of them.
Narcos is like, has become like NCIS. It's like Law and Order. It's just a new version every day. Narcos, Pablo Escobar, Narcos, okay. What's that other guy? El Chapo. Yes. Narcos, D. Narcos, Brian and Chrissy, the gravy years. We've been selling more cocaine to this one address than anywhere in the United States. It's Chrissy Only's apartment. They were shipping that shit in by the ton.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
All we have to do is wait till 3:30 in the morning. And when we see Chrissy and Brian coming outside the bar, we pull up and we sell them the whole truck. Now, they won't have the money immediately, but they'll get it soon.
We could sell a couple sponsorships, which, oh my God, makes me think. I don't know. Do you ever have recurring dreams?
Oh, yeah.
So I keep having this one recurring dream, and I thought about it earlier today that I had to tell you about it. And it's that I still work at the radio station.
Oh, my God.
But here's the thing. I haven't sold anything in like a year.
Oh.
I haven't sold anything in a year. Yeah. And I'm like, and I'm kind of walking around the office.
Hiding yourself? Skirting the management?
And somehow we're in a manager flux where like somebody's taking over but hasn't yet. And I'm like, shit, the new manager is going to find out. I'm still getting paid.
I know.
But I haven't sold anything in a year.
Oh my God. That's like, I used to have, when I worked at McDonald's, I would have nightmares about the fries being overcooked, like the button, the beeper going off, but I couldn't get to it fast enough. And those just, every job I had, I have another stress that, like, sometimes I have a dream about the commercial break. Swear to God, I do. I have a dream about the commercial break that I turn on the microphones and I'm talking, but I can't hear myself. Like, I'm not saying anything and I just get crazed over it. I've had this dream like 3 times. Like, I can't, like... Like this.
Oh, no. Yeah, those dreams are crazy.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, I haven't had that job in so long. But I think since we work so closely together again now, it's bringing up all those
bad memories.
Old fears. It's old not going to work.
Yeah. Waiting for the other shoe to drop. Yes. I don't think that's an uncommon fear, actually. I meet so many people. And by the way, they're not tall or British, so there you go. But I meet a lot of short, un-British people that are like, I don't know why this is happening to me. This is too good to be true. It's called Irish Catholic guilt, Chrissy. Get used to it. It happens all the time.
You're just rubbing off on me.
Yeah, and the truth is that we're not selling anything here either, so.
Well, I know. Like, they're going to find out.
They're going to find out. Who's they? No one cares. The listeners don't want to hear it. Doesn't matter. Oh, man. So, speaking of British bad boys, and I know we're going to have to run this into a second episode because we're already 15 minutes behind, but whatever. Doesn't matter. Speaking of British bad boys.
Oh, yeah. TCB.
Hey you, guess you. I hate to interrupt all the fun, but I just want to remind you that tcbpodcast.com is where you find all the audio and the video, plus you can contact us to get your free 21 EPM sticker. Just go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button, tell us you want a sticker, drop us your address, and off we go. Plus, you can write to us at 855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383. For all of our international listeners, we'll pick up the toll. Go ahead and text us. If you have comments, questions, concerns, content ideas, we're taking them all at 855-TCB-8383. If you want to view the commercial break in a whole new light, go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak to see the fully edited episodes. You'll love it or your money back, I promise. While you're at it, hit us up on Instagram at The Commercial Break and TCB Live on TikTok. So let's take a minute to hear from our sponsors and then we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. TCB. I watched one of the most insane dating shows that I've ever watched before. I think it's on BBC or ITV, whatever it is.
That's saying something.
That is saying something, because I've seen probably every dating show that's out there. They fascinate me. Did you watch the new Love is Blind?
Oh my God, Brian.
I haven't, so don't tell me too much.
First of all, I'm pissed that it's even already out. I just got done hate watching the last one.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, a new one is up right there in Netflix.
Well, that's because they got something hot, and they need it. They need to keep on going.
And I was like, I refuse. But then, find me in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
we can't record because you've got three kids.
Because I got three kids and a dog with two broken legs. Yeah.
Well, next thing I know, let me just see what happens.
So, is it as crazy as everybody's been telling me it is?
I haven't watched the new one. Okay. I watched the old new one that just was new.
That was just new like 5 months ago,
really,
and now they have another one. Yeah, that's like lightning speed. No wonder. Nick Lachey and whoever.
They literally just did one of those follow-ups to the last season, and then now there's a new one.
I know. They did two follow-ups. They did one right after the season started. Now they did a second one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so that lady could apologize for gaslighting that poor guy. Did she? Did she apologize? I think she did.
I think she did.
I didn't watch it, but I think she did. Okay, so Love is Blind has a brand new season. This explains why Nick Lachey and what's her name?
Vanessa.
Why Vanessa and Nick are never, ever in the episode after the first.
Yeah.
Hello to everybody. And they don't even say hello to everybody. They're like, you are here to find out if Love is Blind. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.
Yeah, the most action they get is at the reunion. That's the most action they get. Uh-huh.
And then they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. They come in the first episode,
they don't even glide in like what's his name from The Bachelor.
I wish they did. Yeah. I wish somebody would give us a clue as to what's going on. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the way to check in.
Yes.
When stuff gets juicy, they need a narrator
they do.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they use the other people in the room. Now, I have an opinion that they have planted some people in the girls and the boys' room to ask questions.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't think all of those people are there to find love. I think they're actually just producer plants.
To move the story along.
Move the story along. That's right. And I think that also they probably have a good idea of who they want to follow, and so they may press those. It's all production. But anyway, they started a brand new Love is Blind. But Love is Blind has nothing on this show that I watched, this British dating show. This British dating show is called The Trap. Dating Trap.
Nothing like going to find the love of your life for a show called The Trap.
The Trap. The Dating Trap, or whatever it's called. Chrissy, I swear to God, one guy or one girl, three girls and three guys. And maybe there's like a version where there's all guys and all girls, but I just saw the one guy, three ladies. He gets to ask them three questions. He asks them three questions. They're all standing there. Each one of them is standing on a circle, like a carpet. He asks them three questions, and at the end, the narrator or the host says, which one do you not want to take into the second round? And he's like, Evelyn. And Evelyn literally drops through the floor. They open the floor, and she drops down. I swear on all this holy.
Like a trap door?
I swear to Christ.
Oh, my God.
It's a trap door. Swear to Christ. No!
God.
She falls through the floor.
I know. I mean, that's as bad as somebody like sliming her or, you know, dumping something on her.
Oh, my God. It was like.
She just goes through.
I know. You just ghosted. Wait, I meant Debbie. Is she still alive?
Can we bring her up? Climb back up the slide.
Imagine if they just shoot her back up. They just shoot her up through the hole in the floor and she lands all like.
like through the bank.
Yes.
He put the cash check in.
Yes. Boink.
As soon as we get medical attention for Debbie, we'll let her continue. Three broken bones, a ruptured liver, and an eardrum that no longer works. Debbie, how are you feeling? I think Bob is so cute. Oh my God, it's the best. So I'm going to continue watching that. The audio wasn't that great, or I would have put it on here, but the audio just, it wasn't all that interesting. Bob was kind of lame, and so were those girls, but there are other episodes out there. I'll look at them.
I know, it's so crazy.
And then I watched the fucking end of The Bachelor.
That's embarrassing too.
Yeah. Well, she looked
like, I saw you look really familiar. Wait, were you the one that got dropped through the trap door?
Yes. Are you that girl? Are you the one? Who was there one moment and gone the next? Are you the loser who went through the trapdoor first? I mean, do you really need love that much? No. If you're looking for your 15 minutes of fame, it shouldn't be that you fell through the fucking floor because the producer didn't like you. And you know for a fact that those producers pick who's going to go through that floor first.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. But then I watched The Bachelor. I can't do it. It's just so...
I refuse to do it any longer.
It's so fucking fake.
It's
so fucking fake.
Nobody ever stays together. I mean, I guess there's a few sprinkled, but I mean...
Yeah, but you put 300 men and 300 women in a room together over the course of 2 decades.
With a bunch of alcohol.
With a bunch of alcohol. You're bound to have one idiot that stays with it for long enough. But all these guys, they just do the same thing. It's hard. And I guess that's part of the lure of the show, right? Is that at the end, he's got to pick one, and that's it. But this Bachelor
has been going on for so long.
I know.
20 years.
And I got to say,
20.
I don't agree with anything that host said, whatever his name. What was his name? I forgot. Whatever.
Yeah, you went through the trap door.
Yeah. Pete Davidson. What was his name?
He
went through the trap. Chris Harrison.
Chris Harrison.
I don't agree with anything Chris Harrison said. He should have kept his mouth shut. That was his job. All he had to do was walk in, say, there's one more rose left. Good night, ladies. And that was it. That's all he had to do. And he would have made millions of dollars for the day that he died. But he didn't do that. He opened his big fat fucking mouth because he thought he knew something cute and smart about politics. And on top of that, he didn't even talk about politics.
No.
He talked about race.
Yeah.
You're a fucking moron, dude. He didn't take the temperature in the room. And I guess the good news is we vetted out someone who may not be all that great of a human being. I mean, at the end of the day. But for the purposes of The Bachelor, just silo The Bachelor for a second, if you can. Take Chris Harrison's shitty personality out of it. Chris Harrison.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't even know he had a personality.
I didn't either. And that was why he needed to shut up. He would have been fine if he just would have walked in the door and said, here's a rose, ladies. But he didn't do that. He had to go blabbing on some podcast that no one listens to and no one cares about. Number one. Number two, the show is just dull now. It's just dull. It's everything is all the same. Everyone's up for the drama. So I didn't watch one episode except the final episode.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah.
Because mine is usually, if I start watching from the beginning.
Did you watch this season?
No. Okay. I haven't watched it in a few years now.
Astrid watches it, right? Mm-hmm. And I know, it's like, it's fantasy. It's fun. It's fun to watch people fall in love and see who's going to pick who and the cute guys and the cute girls and all this. But it is such... It's a caricature of itself.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, this dum-dum that they have on this last season.
Betty, I just want you to know that of all the chicks I've stuck my dick in here, you are the second best. And also football. What? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. And also I love you.
Have some champagne.
Yeah. And also, I think the production assistant is cute.
That's a man.
I know. I'm pretty gay, actually. Not just here for the fame.
Yeah.
This guy is such a dum-dum. Dum-dum. Dum-dum, dum-dum-dum. And then he goes and he picks. And I don't understand because I didn't watch the entire season. There's two beautiful ladies that have all of the love and attention that that he could ever want. And he picks the one that's like least interested in him. There's one girl that's really in love with him. And then there's one girl that's least interested in him. And he has two to pick from. And one's just obviously less of a fit than the other one. And I only watched one fucking episode and I knew this. And then they drag it out for days and days. And then, you know, this has been such a great ride with you. Everything's been so wonderful. From the day I met you, I knew something special was happening.
And then you supported me when I had my doubts. You lifted me up on high.
It was like Pontius fucking Pilate.
You lifted me up on high. You carried the cross for me. Everything was great. But you're not the winner. Yeah. And I love you like no other person I've ever loved. Because the heart wants what the heart wants. And you saw that in me. You. You were the only one who believed in me. And you're not the winner.
Yeah, I can't do this with you.
But I didn't get you an engagement ring. I got the other chick. But stand by. Stand by. Never works out with it. Never works out with the one they pick.
Exactly.
Would you mind being my side chick? That's what I'd be like. I'd be like, would you mind being my side chick? Side chicks always get the best sex. Don't worry about it. We always save the best sex for the side chick. It's like, what the fuck?
Well, maybe that was all kind of like you were talking about with the production stuff. So maybe that was all kind of planned so that she would become the bachelorette. Because usually the second and the runner-up.
Yeah. It's all planned. It's got to be. Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe, I don't know at the end of the day what how this guy really feels. I know he's kind of adult.
Because you don't hate it if the bitchy girl didn't find love. You're like,
The bitchy girl is only good for one thing, and that's three episodes of drama, and then he lets her go. Until it's completely obvious to everybody, including the audience, who it's been obvious to from the beginning, that this girl does not need to be here anymore. But the producers, here's the thing. There's one squeaky wheel always in the group, and that squeaky wheel is there for nothing else but to be incredibly attractive in the camera and cause drama. Yeah. She riles everything up. She gets in the middle of all the dates. Mm-hmm. She shows up at his door unannounced.
She has the best date sometimes, you know, where he takes her on an alone date. Not a group.
Nope. An alone date to the top of the Eiffel Tower. Where there are helicopters flying around.
With roses.
Fireworks along the Champs-Élysées. They close down the Chanel store. She gets to pick whatever she wants.
Exactly. They have done that with
the
shopping.
That's right. Yes. Fucking Gordon Ramsay shows up and cooks you a personal meal. It's all great. It's all gravy, right? And then she comes back and she's like, I sucked his dick. It was huge. And then there's always that one girl. I haven't even talked to him. He flew me on a private jet to Paris. I sucked his dick the entire way.
And I got this Chanel bag.
Yeah. And I got these 12 Chanel bags. And there's always one girl. I don't even know his name. And I'm sorry, but usually that girl is a minority because, of course, right? they're trying to make things all equal and even, but it never is.
I know.
It's always such an obvious ploy to just satisfy advertisers, and it's fucking bullshit. And none of it is real. It's so crazy. None of it is real. It's all those poor girls.
I don't even know his name. Yeah, but she does always have an even
They have
to
me
her.
Locked in the hotel room. They say I have COVID. You're just boring, darling. You're just boring. We keep you in the boring room. Because you know that they do. That producers are instantaneous. They're probably identified long before the show even started rolling. Mm-hmm. This girl's boring, this girl's boring, and this girl's boring. So keep the cameras off them. But this girl's a hot shot, and they probably pull that hot shot aside, and they say, listen.
You're a hot shot.
This is your moment. Mm-hmm. You're going to have at least 50,000 new Instagram followers when this is all said and done. Exactly. You don't really like him anyway. Yeah. He's not that good looking. We know. You know. Everybody knows. He's like 10 feet tall,
Just
but
look
that's
hot
it.
And cause drama.
Yeah, look hot, cause drama. We got a stylist on hand. Yep. And by the way, we're flying you to the Champs-Élysées for a private dinner from Gordon Ramsay. Just know that's in there. Right. And then, then she comes home and tells him all wonderful he is. But then she pees in somebody's champagne and it's causing drama everywhere. And so the girls don't like him. But the guy seems oblivious to everything that's going on.
No, he has no idea. And that means that other girls need to go and tell him.
That's right.
They have to pull him aside just to want to let you. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah. If it was
Can
Chris Harrison. If it was Chris Harrison, he'd be like, he'd knock on the door. Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
Listen, I just want to sit down and talk with you for a moment about some things that have been happening outside of the...
Okay. I put on pants.
Yes, you should put on pants.
Shoes, all by myself.
Yes, go ahead and put on shoes, too.
Yay!
Chris, the girl you took out on a date last night murdered two of the other contestants. But we don't want to jump to conclusions. I want to hear what you have to say. I like airplanes. Great. We're going to have them come in and talk to you about it. And then the girls are like, I know that you think that she's here for you, but she murdered two other contestants yesterday. Oh, I guess I'm going to have a conversation with her separately.
At the Chanel store.
At the Chanel store. That's right. Such horseshit. It's such horseshit. And then that girl, the troublemaker, the murderer, stays for the next 12 episodes because the producers love it. They think this is great. Oh, they can make dramatic commercials out of it. Chris, meanwhile, is just like, you know, the guy, whoever the contestant is, has no fucking clue what's going on or pretends to have no clue what's going on. But I can guarantee you there's a production meeting that wraps up about this and they know everything. Everything. They're in a fucking resort. They all know each other. Yeah. They all know what's going on.
Yeah.
If you know, we should have our own dating show where we can stay at a resort for 2 weeks and just do nothing but fly to fancy locations where fireworks are being blown off. Yeah. It's so unbelievable. And the things that, what happens when these people get out of the that's why it never works out.
Right, because you're in a fantasy land.
That's why I like,
in a bubble.
I used to like that Married at First Sight. By the way, Married at First Sight UK is back on, and Chrissy, this show is the shit.
Is it?
Oh, goddamn, yes.
Okay.
Married Netflix? At First Sight UK and Australia. No, it's on like Lifetime or some shit like that. I have it recorded. I can... But let you watch it. Okay, because in the U.S. version, it's the same as The Bachelor. Like, it's gotten way boring. Way boring. It's everything's just so predictable. But in the Married at First Sight version in the U.S., they actually give a shit, and they're trying to put two people together. I mean, in the U.S., they try and put people together that actually care about each other. That they're actually trying to set people up on successful marriage.
That's why it's boring.
That's why it's boring. Mm-hmm. It's boring because it really deals with the minutia of actual relationships.
Right.
In the UK, they don't give a shit what happens. It's all about the drama. And Australia's even like 10 times as worse.
I wonder, to our new listeners out there, you probably don't know this, but Brian and I had a contestant on Married at First Sight Australia.
We did.
On.
Yeah.
And
she's
it was part of the shit show
Michelle.
Beginning.
Yeah,
part
the shit
of
show beginning.
Yeah, the podcast.
Somebody asked me the other day, they go, do you have guests on? And I'm like, no. And she goes, why? And I go, quite frankly, we're barely holding it together with two of us in the room. We put a third in the room, it's all over. It's game over.
We've tried it.
But we did have Michelle on, and Michelle was lovely.
She was lovely.
Yeah. And you know what she's doing now?
She thought she was going to be on some big time podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to get into like every bit of minutia, but just listen to this. There's a version of Married at First Sight. They run it during the pandemic. It's Married at First Sight Australia. Now, in Australia, it had run 2 years earlier, so it was an old version in Australia. But there was an older couple, and I say older, they're like in their late 40s, right? There's an older couple when everybody is younger.
Yeah.
And the lady is named Michelle, and the guy is named whatever his name is. So we reach out to both of them. We, being my wife and I, reach out to them on Instagram. The podcast is like 4 episodes old.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, maybe we can get one of these people on, because we're really enjoying watching the show. And this couple, this guy will not sleep in the same bed with Michelle because he thinks she's old. Well, he's an old fuck himself, right? So
yeah.
So we reach out to both of them, and they both respond instantaneously. And Michelle's the first one to say, yeah, I'll come on. And I'm like, oh, great, I'd love to hear your side of the story as to why this guy treats you like such a dick. So then Michelle comes on, and she spends the next hour and a half doing nothing. I ask all the tough questions. She answers every single one of them.
She was a great sport.
Yes, and she talks about what a kind of a dick this guy was to her. The day after this episode aired, this guy Instagrams me, and he's like, I will not be coming on your show because you have not treated me fairly. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Wah, wah, wah. Is it, first of all, you know who you're talking to? It's a fucking commercial break. And at that time, the commercial break means nothing now. But at that time.
I mean, I was under 10 episodes because I remember doing it from my house and on video to video.
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night with a
with the earphones on?
With the Apple.
With the ear pods that are so great for podcast audio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like we've gotten much. We took a step up. So she spends the entire time. She gives all the tough
very
answers.
Very sweet.
Yeah. And then that episode, part of that episode, goes all over the internet.
That's
her
right.
saying this, her saying that on this podcast. No one knows who the fucking commercial break is. By the way, We saw a huge spike in listenership in Australia that quickly went away after that.
Very quick.
Because while Michelle was on, it was interesting. But then they go, oh, this is the show without Michelle? Ah, yeah. So much better with Michelle. But this guy, Mike, or whatever his name was, he sent me the nastiest nasty gram on Instagram. And I was like, listen, Mike, you come on and you defend yourself if that's what you feel. If you're upset about my opinion about your relationship, I understand. And no one is dumb here, Mike. Everyone knows that the producers of the show egg certain situations along. And I said that on the show, that it's all manipulated and they have hours and hours of raw footage that they can twist and turn any way they want to. You want to defend yourself? Come on the show and defend yourself.
We've got 10 listeners.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Mike figured out exactly what the commercial break was. Unlike Michelle, who was so sweet, by the way, and we still touch base every once in a while.
I loved her.
Do you know what she's doing? She's running around Australia selling sex toys.
Oh, think you told me this. I love that
and
for
good
her.
For her, yeah, she's like a super empowered, super beautiful woman.
She deserves that.
She does. Mike's still an asshole because fuck you. If you're still listening to the show, I doubt it. He probably said to himself, one podcast I don't have to worry about. The commercial whatevers. The commercial breaks with over 20 downloads per episode. Somebody on the review said, I love this show. I wish they knew how good they were. Oh, we know how good we are. And that's why we're always talking shit about ourselves. We get it. We're here. We're not here. We're here. Oh, Chrissy.
We're just being us.
We're just being us, and what more could you ask for? So we got to nothing we planned on today.
But we've been gone from each other for a little while in the studio.
We had to get it all out.
Yeah.
We'll watch videos next time when we have nothing more to say to each other.
Right. We'll need a prop.
It's like a marriage, only we have videos to keep us entertained. It's like when you're married for a long time and you go out to eat and you're like when you have kids and you're like, oh my God, this is going to be awesome. I'm going out with my wife on a date. And then you get there and you're like, what should we talk about? The kids, I guess. But we have fun, don't we?
We do.
It's so much fun.
We do.
And hey, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Go to tcbpodcast.com. That's where you can listen to all the audio, watch all the video, find out more about Chrissy and I, and most importantly, you can contact us. Would you like a 21 EPM sticker gratis? Pro gratis? We will not charge you one bit for the 21 EPM sticker, 21 ejaculations per month with a commercial break stamped right on it. You can put it on the back of your car, make all your friends and family proud. Just go to the contact us button at tcbpodcast.com and drop us your address so we can send it to you. Make sure you let us know that you want one. Also, 1-855-TCB-8383. That's TCB-8385-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world. We'll pick up the charges. We would love to hear from you. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all at 855-TCB-8383. We'd also like to let you know that at the commercial break is where you find us on Instagram and TCB Live on that TikTok. I posted two things to TikTok and it blew up. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it blew up, but maybe not in the right way. We'll talk about it more on another episode, but
you'll have to fill me in.
Yeah, social media is just a cesspool of negativity.
That's why I stay off it.
Yeah, maybe I deserved it in this case. Yeah, that's why you stay off it. So at the commercial break, follow us on Instagram. We sure would appreciate it. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. That's the most important thing that we have going on besides the audio feed, because they're full episodes edited to your liking, just the way you want it. Just like Burger King. Have it your way on YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. Money back guarantee. Please like and subscribe. We certainly would appreciate it. Well, it's been a rousing episode.
Yes, it has.
Out of
I've
the frying
laughed.
Pan back into the fire.
A lot.
The dog is still alive. I guess that's good news.
That is good news.
All right. She's well, I guess I'll say I love you.
And I love you, Brian.
I love you, Blue. And best to you, Chrissy.
And best to you and Blue.
Yes. And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say we do say and we must say.
Goodbye.